This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Keith, you ready for a road game?
Oh, I'm ready for a road game. You better believe it.
Let me tell you, we'll get to Robert Kraft. We'll get to the Bruins coming up as well. But Keith, you got to be, feeling like you're missing out on a variety of levels here. If you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, Rich Keefe from the Dork Podcast Lair there. Is that what's going on?
Dragon's Lair. Yep, it's Dragon's a Dragon's Lair day.
I'm sorry.
Of all days, I heard you guys have like 50 personal pan pizzas in there today.
They're bar insane pizzas from the Trading Post in Bourne. I have not dipped in yet, but you should. Keith, you heard about the pizzas yesterday and how they went quickly. These are in this studio, so they're going to be a little more protected, but there are
they'll be gone.
There are ample amounts of pizza here, and I will be just sticking my face in a pizza box in the next break. Yeah.
I did appreciate before Courtney left, she made sure to flaunt the pizza in front of the Zoom camera. So I'm like, that's very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, don't Bing flaunt the pizza on a work computer there. But yes,
that is exactly what you think it is.
That is what she did to Keith before leaving for the day. Keith, not only that, and I don't really want to emphasize how down bad you are, but I thought you were going to hit on your parlay last night too, and that missed.
Oh. Devastating. So for those who missed it, I don't know how you could have, but the parlay, very simple. I thought, you know, we both expected a big bounce for the Bruins after the Montgomery firing and taking on a bad Utah club. So it was a three-leg parlay. Bruins on the puck line, so they had to win by two.
Yeah, two goals.
And then it was a Pastrnak goal and a Marchand assist. So pretty quick into the game, you get the Marchand dime, right? Boom, apple for Marchand. I'm like, all right, check that off. They're up 1-0. But Jones, they're dominating the play. They are controlling the play. They have a lot of shots on net. I'm like, it's really only a matter of time until Pasta scores. He doesn't. Fast forward to the end of the game. Still 1-0 Bruins. Utah pulls the goalie. Classic, pulling the goalie. And Pastrnak scores. I'm like, holy smokes, we got it. They hang on 2-0, get the goal, get the assist. Boom, I'm counting my hams. Turns out, high stick. They look at it. No goal.
So
they win 1-0. I lose my bet.
I didn't realize they gave Marchand an assist. I don't know how he got one. But
I think it hit him in the shoe or something.
Yeah, I didn't realize they gave Marchand an assist on the Lindholm goal, and I didn't realize what was at stake until this morning when I saw you missed out on the parlay.
Well, it bounced off of Marchand's foot or something, and then Lindholm cleaned it up. So in hockey, it's if you're near the puck, they usually give you an assist.
Yeah, they'll throw you an assist for anything. No, that's for sure.
That was devastating.
So Keith down bad today, probably not as bad as Robert Kraft.
No.
We'll get to all of that here on a Patriots Friday on Jones and Keith. A lot of ways you can interact with the show. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. You can text us at 37937 on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can chat there too. Always a nice healthy chat going on. And on YouTube, you can watch. Just subscribe to WEEI. We will get further into the Bruins. They win in the first game with Joe Sacco. A lot of the passengers on the Bruins woke up last night. They played pretty well in front of Korpisalo, who got some help from the post around him last night. But we'll get to the Bees coming up. Maybe some Red Sox thoughts later on in the show. And, of course, all of our Friday staples. Keys, will come your way at 1 o'clock sharp. How's that gonna? How are the keys gonna rattle remotely? How are those gonna? So can you give us a preview?
Great!
Or are they stuck here?
No, I got them on ice. Okay. I like to keep them nice and cold. But no. I brought them. I got them.
You got them.
They'll be here. Good. Oh, you better believe it.
That's a man who's prepared. Uh-huh. We'll get to our Friday four-pack coming up a little over an hour from now, plus our Patriots Friday guest. I'm curious to talk to DeMarcus Covington today.
Yes.
Why didn't you let Alex Van Pelt know that Marcus Jones played on offense, huh? Like, where was that over the last couple of months? So we'll do that here today on the show. Player TBD.
Mm-hmm.
Always very promising.
Nice.
On a Patriots Friday. But let's start with Robert Kraft. You heard him right off the top, Keith. You sent this late last night. I hadn't seen it yet. Kraft snubbed, some may say, kept out of the Hall of Fame yet again for an individual I was not familiar with, Ralph Hay.
Yeah, Ralph Hay's in.
From the teens, the 20s. He was arguably, I'm not sure I would argue it, but arguably the founder of the NFL. He owned the defunct Canton Bulldogs for 4 years. That's not Canton, Mass. No Karen Reed references here. But from 1918 to 1922, he owned the Canton Bulldogs. He famously didn't want to pay players. So as I joked, at least he and Kraft have something in common.
Yep.
But he has a chance to go to the Hall of Fame. Robert Kraft will not be going. He's had 13 opportunities. He's 0 for 13. Your thoughts?
It's amazing. It really is. Ralph Hay, who owned a team for 4 years and didn't want to pay the players.
Shout out Jim Bowden for the Ralph reference there. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
No, it's incredible. Because I know there was a big groundswell for Ralph Hay. And people were like, hey, Ralph Hay needs to get in.
Yeah.
You saw the documentary. You read the book. There was a lot of push for Ralph Hay to get in. And people paid attention to it. And they said, all right, you're in. No, I think we talked about this when the Dynasty came out. We've talked about this off and on with different, like, Robert Kraft reports and stories that have been written about him. I don't think owners should be in the Hall of Fame, but owners are in the Hall of Fame, and therefore he should be one of the owners that is in. Six Super Bowls. I mean, Jerry Jones is in, right? So it's very obvious that he should be in. However, him wanting it so badly has clearly rubbed a lot of people, the voters, the wrong way. You know, was it Wickersham or one of those guys that had the article about, you know, some of the voters would get sent the Dynasty book
multiple times. It was Don Van Natta. He wrote another piece last night. It was Don Van Natta from ESPN, yeah.
So they would say, like, hey, did you read the Dynasty? They're like, yeah, we got the Dynasty. Then they'd send it to him again. And then most of them sniffed out that the documentary series was also just a big push for Robert Kraft. And so I think him wanting it as badly as he does is keeping him out more so than what happened down in Florida. I'm sure that's a small account. I think that, you know, the massage stuff down there might have impacted the next year or the year after, but I feel like we're far enough removed. And in the grand scheme of things, not that big a deal. So I don't think that's what's keeping him out. But it's amazing. It's like they have like a grudge against him. And the other layer to this, Jones, now is I don't think he's all that sympathetic to Patriots fans. Like, the one group that should want him in and should care about it are still pissed about Belichick,
so
are still pissed
point.
About Brady. So if you polled every Patriots fan and you let them vote, I bet he gets in, but barely. I bet only because you're like, yeah, of course he should be in the Hall of Fame, but
so
I don't think anybody's upset about it.
I'd push back on that. Well, so that last line I agree with. I'd push back on people. I think a majority of Patriots fans think he deserves to be in. I think he deserves to be in.
Yeah, same.
But I'm not outraged that he's not in today. Like, it's ridiculous. Ralph Hay, who, like, reading through that Don Van Natta story, like, some of the comments in there, quote, it's a huge surprise, said one source who assisted on anonymity. Insisted on anonymity. It's very disappointing. Unless you're an NFL historian, you don't know who Ralph Hay is. You have no idea who this person is. And they're going into the Hall of Fame. It's been a century since they did anything for the game of football. There's been a lot of time to vote in Ralph Hay. So that's ridiculous, and it's funny, I guess, on some level.
It's kind of funny. Ralph Hay died 76 years ago. Died 76 years ago.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's.
How insane is that?
Too soon to laugh, you think, Keith? Is that what you think it is?
I think today's the day we can. I think he finally got the recognition he deserves. Yeah. But it's like he could have been in the first Hall of Fame class.
Okay, Paul Brown.
What was the first class? He could have been in that if he wanted him so bad.
The 70s, I think. Paul Brown shouted him. When Paul Brown went into the Hall of Fame, he shouted out Ralph Hay. Then. He was like, oh, hey, big respect to Ralph Hay and everything he did for the game. So, like, it's funny that Ralph Hay from the 20s, a guy who didn't want to pay, he was against paying players in the NFL.
Played for free. Play for free.
He is in the Hall of Fame and Robert Kraft isn't. I think a majority of Patriots fans, and you tell me if I'm wrong, 617-779-7937. I think a majority think he should get in and eventually will get in, but I don't think they're shedding tears that today isn't the day, because I agree with you. I think a lot of them are still upset with Kraft. They're upset with the dynasty. They're upset with the way he handled Bill Belichick. And so I don't think they're shedding tears today, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, I think you're right. I think a lot of people, and this is a weird case where I think a lot of people might actually agree with us, that he deserves to be in, but you're not kicking and screaming about it. And if things had ended differently, let's say, you know, Brady stuck around for another year, then retired as a Patriot, and then Bill Belichick stuck around for another year. You know, they don't win the Super Bowl or anything, but they're decent. Maybe even like after the 21 season, Bill just says, I'm going to retire. And like, thanks for everything. You throw both guys a big parade. You're like Tom Brady, lifetime Patriot, Bill Belichick retired on top. And there's no like ripping the guy on the way out or anything. I think on a day like today, Patriots fans are pissed and they're like, what the hell? And now it's like, whatever. Like, this guy's is screwed. Like, how Patriots fans feel about him today versus 5 years ago is so different.
Oh, for sure.
It's like not even close. Like, he should have been in then. The fact, like, you don't have to wait. This isn't a player coach situation where you have to be retired for 5 years. Jerry Jones has been in for years. So Robert Kraft probably should have gotten in 2018, 2006. Like, once they started to like get that like a second run of the dynasty and win more Super Bowls, like, he was separated. Or even when he helped stop the work stoppage,
yeah,
he probably should have gotten in for that. Like, the impact on the game, like, he should have gotten in for that. But the longer we go away from it, it's like, I don't know if he's ever going to get in.
Yeah, so I think a lot of fans, his approval rating is taking a nosedive with, yeah, Patriots fans. I agree with that. Do you think this is a larger story about the Patriots and their dynasty, or is this just a Kraft story? Like, in other words, like, Bill's not going to have to wait a year. Brady's obviously not going to have to wait a year. Are they holding it against the dynasty in any way, or is this just about Kraft?
I think it's a Kraft soul issue. It took Ty Law and Richard Seymour a couple years to get in, which I thought was stupid. I thought those guys were first ballot, but whatever. They're in now. Like, you know, you'll look back and just say they're in the Hall of Fame. Adam Vinatieri, even though I know he played for the Colts more than the Patriots, is on the ballot this year. He should get in. Rodney Harrison, we'll see. He's been a weird test study all along. And same with Vince Wilfork. I don't even know if he's like a Hall of Famer necessarily, but I think it's more to do with Kraft. I think they've recognized a couple of guys from the dynasty, and obviously Brady and Bill are going to get in immediately. Hell, Bill might even get in sooner. Aren't they waiving the coach?
Yeah, I think Bill, if he's not coaching next year, I think one like a year after you're retired, I think you technically could get in. So yeah, if Bill doesn't get a job this year, I think he could go in. Yes.
In a weird way, too, I feel like both Spygate and Deflategate, even though clearly a coach quarterback thing and not an owner thing, it seems like the owner is being held accountable by like the voters more so than those guys.
Well, but and that I get too. Like, I think the scandals, like Orchids of Asia, maybe that delayed when Kraft was going to go in a few years ago. Maybe it delayed that because it was like too hot of a topic. But now I really don't think it gets referenced all that much. Like, it gets brought up in these discussions here and there, I guess, but it doesn't get brought up that much. It's not front of mind. No. Like, Deflategate and Spygate get brought up. I think those stick to Robert because his relationship with Goodell and his, you know, influence within the league. And I think that's what rubbed other owners the wrong way. And I think that's their issue with those scandals. And that's Robert's, what's held against him in that situation. He wasn't asking to deflate footballs. He wasn't asking to record other teams' sidelines. He wasn't asking to do that. But when the scandals popped up, he was the one who was attempting to make them go away. And his influence within the league, I think a lot of other owners resent. And I don't think other owners felt they would have gotten the same treatment. So I think it's some of that. But I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, Keith. It's mostly about how thirsty he is and how badly he wants it, and the press pressure campaign that they ran with Stacey James, their media relations director, who it says distinctly in this story was not part of this campaign.
Got it.
Which, thanks, Stacey, for telling Don Van Natta you weren't a part of this campaign. But okay, like, you wanted it too badly. It was a turnoff for people who were voting. Is that fair? No, but it's reality. Anybody who wants something too bad and they're too annoying about it in your personal life, and just ask yourself, someone wants this over and over and over again. They won't shut up about it. They're in your face about it. They're constantly reminding you about it. Nagging, nagging, nagging. Aren't you going to be a little annoyed by that and hold it against them at some point? It's not fair, but that's what's going on here. I think that's his biggest hurdle and the biggest reason he is out of the Hall of Fame.
So I got some advice for him. This is free advice.
Yeah,
he can use this. and this is an automatic way to get in. You hold a press conference.
Okay.
You say, hey, look, it didn't happen this year, and I've had a change of heart. I don't even want to be in. In fact, I want to be removed from consideration.
I like it.
I don't want to even be a semifinalist next year. Don't waste your time or mine. It's not important to me anymore. I don't care. I got to focus on turning this team around. Please find another Ralph Hay next year and go on from there. I don't care about it. And then you walk off and you're like, hopefully that works.
Yeah,
please,
yeah.
Hopefully that works. Maybe. And now they're going to piss me off. They're going to put me in the Hall of Fame. That's what you got to do. You got to play mind games with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's I don't even want to be around anymore. The Hall of Fame version,
yeah.
You know, that he
too
can bring
much
up.
On me. I can't breathe.
37937. One text here. Keyspiracy theory. You ready for this?
Yes, of course I am.
Belichick, a noted football historian, is behind Hay's induction. Talk amongst yourselves. Like, this is Bill talking up Ralph Hay, who wasn't even a finalist in 2020 the last time he was. He wasn't even a finalist. There were three finalists. He wasn't even a finalist. Now he's the nominee. Bill was pushing for someone like Ralph Hay and campaigning for Ralph Hay to get back at Robert Kraft. I don't rule that out one bit. I rule that out.
This guy wasn't alive for the first Super Bowl, and he's in the Hall of Fame?
Like, yeah, again, I don't mean to laugh. Too soon. I don't mean to laugh.
I don't mean he wasn't born. Yeah, I mean, he was long dead before the first Super Bowl, and now it's like, let's get him in. Guys, now that we've had a chance to really look over the resume of Ralph Hay.
Do you think Bill's behind it?
Sure. I don't rule it out completely.
I don't either. Like, Bill made a big push for Ralph. Oh, you guys know that Ralph Hay was really the father of football. How's he not in the Hall of Fame? And meanwhile, it's just an agenda against Kraft. I don't rule that out one bit.
To Ralph Hay's credit, they, in 1919,
yes,
were champions of the Ohio League.
Good.
So.
Well, no, I think he was a brilliant visionary for the league. He said, you know where football is going to take off? Canton, Ohio. You know where we need to stick a team?
It's a good spot.
Canton, Ohio. And by the way, let's not pay the players. Like, obviously, the guy was way ahead of the curve and way ahead of his time and really had a good pulse on where the direction of football was going. Canton, Ohio. Not, forget about your Dallas, Texas.
No,
forget about your Miami, Florida.
I bet.
No. Canton, Ohio. That's the cradle of football.
I bet all the owners do look up to him, though. They're like, imagine if we didn't have to pay these players. Like, they probably.
It's most of our overhead. He was he was ahead of his time. What a visionary.
Yeah, exactly.
617-779-7937. It's Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe. Keefe's on the road here today. But we're with you until 2 o'clock. We will talk to DeMarcus Covington. Can't wait to talk to him about the game plan against the Rams last week, which sucked.
Ugh.
And referring to Marcus Jones as Travis Hunter, but not bothering to say a peep and suggesting it to Alex Van Pelt all year long. So we're going to get to that. We'll talk to a Patriots player as well. Keefe's Keys at 1 o'clock. We'll have a Friday 4-pack about an hour from now, a 4-pack of questions about the Patriots and the Dolphins, plus the Week in Review at 11:45. Stay tuned for all of it. Let's get into Alex Van Pelt, his comments yesterday about Marcus Jones and what they say about the competence of the coaching staff.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Obviously helping the offense, what was the impetus for putting Marcus Jones in the game plan last week? And is that something you hope to build on moving forward?
Because he called and asked. That's seriously, he did. I got a text from Marcus Jones, and I'm going back in my mind, like, Marcus would just come and sit, talk to me in the building, I would think. So I was Googling Marcus Jones's, and there was a guy that came through Green Bay for a cup of coffee. I'm like, why would he be texting me? And then one of our coaches came and said, Marcus is trying to get a hold of you. So watched 19 plays of his that he's done here as an offensive player. He obviously brings a lot of juice. Tremendous ball carrier, speed, his ability to see the field. So, you know, try to find some plays just to get our guys in the best position to make plays, and felt like he would give us a little spark there. You know, we'll see how it goes moving forward.
I'm just curious if there was a reason why you hadn't considered Marcus before, or maybe you did, just, you know, didn't think the timing was right.
No. That was the first it had come to my attention, and that he had played offensive plays, and, you know, I'm glad that he did it.
We're going to get to Ben McAdoo coming up. Apparently he loves Top Gun. And I don't quite know what all these coaches around here do. That was Alex Van Pelt yesterday, Keith. We referenced those comments quite a few times during the show. They sound even worse than they read yesterday, I can tell you that.
So I'm a big, you know, the truth will set you free. Uh-huh. And, you know, you should always tell the truth. It's easier to remember. This is a must-lie situation. If you're Alex Van Pelt and they're like, why didn't you play him? You can't say, because I had no idea he played offense, and he reached out to me. You got to make something up. You got to be like, well, you know, we had seven receivers on the roster. We were really trying to find what we had in those guys, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, we think it's good and limited, like, blah, blah. You got to lie. You have to lie. Mm. This sounds insane. This makes you look bad. It makes your head coach look dumb. It makes your communication look non-existent in the building. This is so insane, too, because there had been a lot of positive momentum with Van Pelt. Like, oh, like, Drake May's developing really well, and, like, the offense is, like, maybe taking a turn. They're actually an entertaining team. And this just kind of, like, knocks you back, and you're like, wait a minute. You didn't even know that just 2 years ago this guy that was on your team played offense? And then that's all it took? He texted you, and you're like, yeah, okay. Then the next game he's out there playing? It's another wild story in a series of wild stories involving this team.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And it does just speak to, and we touched on this yesterday, I think we got a text on this, 37937. It's Jones and Keefe on a Patriots Friday. We'll get to the Bozo touchdown parlay. Hopefully it goes better than Keith's Bruins parlay last night.
Man.
Friday, four-pack of questions on Patriots and Dolphins coming up less than an hour from now. And we also have Keefe's Keys at 1 o'clock sharp. So stay tuned for that. But the whole idea is collaboration and breaking down silos. And the coaches don't even talk. They don't even talk to each other. My favorite part, after listening to that now a few different times, my favorite part of Van Pelt is he goes, well, obviously Marcus Jones has some juice. Was that obvious? If it was so obvious, why couldn't you watch him on a kick return? You said this yesterday, Keith.
Yeah, you see him returning punts, making guys miss.
Oh, I mean,
he was their best weapon.
Obviously, he has some juice. I mean, yeah, no, we all knew that. It was obvious to get him on the field, so why didn't you? Don't use the word obviously. Apparently, it wasn't obvious to you or anybody else. And I think, Keith, he was just so itching to share that, oh, yeah, we are doing some gadgetry. We are doing some interesting things on offense. See, we schemed this up. He was trying to pat himself on the back, and he walked right into it. I had to Google Marcus Jones.
He's on your team.
I had to
He's
Google him.
He's on your
him.
Team. He returns punts. He plays corner. He's on your team. Now you're Googling him? Like, so clearly they don't talk to the other coaches. How do you not know the guys on your team? I know he's focused on offense, but this guy has been a big reason, especially in the Jacoby Brissett days, how you were able to get short fields and score touchdowns. So it should have been obvious. The guy we're going to talk to later today, DeMarcus Covington, referred to him as Travis Hunter before Travis Hunter. So somebody should probably, I don't know, get that information across. And you're right. Van Pelt, to me, is probably third on the blame list.
Yeah.
But still deserves blame. Like for
Definitely.
You see Jones making these electric plays, and then how do you not say something to Mayo, even if it's sort of like a, man, he might look good on offense, to which point Mayo should say, funny you mentioned that, Alex. He's actually played offense.
And like, he's pretty good at it.
Even if that's how the conversation like comes up, but this probably should have happened all the way back in camp. And
also, yeah. Like, oh, for sure.
Like when they were in camp and they were trying everything else and they had, and maybe part of it too is why I blame Elliot Wolf a lot, is he had so many freaking receivers on this team. And so Jalen Reagor started on the team. I know he went to the practice squad, then he got cut. But they had so many guys that Van Pelt's probably trying to figure out how to use those guys before he even, like, dips into, you know, punt returners and cornerbacks. But he should have had a set of plays back in August that they knew that he could run and then sprinkle them in throughout the course of the regular season.
I mean, I blame them all. You make a good point about Wolf. like, Alex Van Pelt just sounds like a moron up there. Like, I had to Google a player on your own team. Obviously, he has a lot of juice. Well, again, it wasn't obvious. You didn't utilize him. I blame DeMarcus Covington and everybody else who was on staff a couple of years ago. I kind of want to blame Marcus Jones for waiting until week 10 to text him. Like, do that earlier. Let him know I want to play on. Let somebody know. Don't sit there quiet for, you know, half the season. But to me, it's a Mayo story. This is a Gerard Mayo story. You're the head coach. Like, you had... It sounded like you were just along for the ride with the game plan last week for Christian Gonzalez against the Rams, which sucked. And you had to watch tape, and by Wednesday, you're like, oh, yeah, I got around to watching that tape. And actually, for a majority of the time, he was on either Cup or Nacua and, like, justifying it, but it sounded like he didn't have a firm grasp on it. You're the head coach. Let the coordinators know this guy is an option. It is a Gerard Mayo story. The communication's supposed to be better. Somehow it's worse.
That part is crazy. And with Mayo in particular, the first five games of the season, you have Jacoby Brissett playing quarterback, and you're desperately trying not to turn it over and just win games by, like, the narrowest of margins. And you have nobody kind of stepping up as, like, a playmaker. Like, nobody. Like, the receivers aren't playmakers. Ramondre Stevenson had a couple of good games, and the tight ends are solid, but they're not, like, explosive playmakers.
Right.
But you have one on your team, and I'm not saying you hand the ball to him 10 times or throw to him 10 times or anything like that, but just some kind of spark, which he provides almost every time on punt return. How would you not have mentioned that, or how would you not have considered that? Second, third game of the year, be like, you know what we could do? Get him in
there.
It's
such, like, a good point, Keith. The quarterback who needs him more was Brissett.
Yeah.
Like, if you were going to utilize a wrinkle in the game plan, you needed it for the game manager, not for, you know, the potential Pro Bowl quarterback or whatever Drake May's ceiling is. Like, I'm happy they're using him with May, but if you were ever going to use him, you do it early in the year when the offense needed a jolt. It's a great point.
I know, and I know he plays a lot on defense, but, I mean, you still have, you know, it's not like he's Christian Gonzalez.
Correct.
And you're like, no, we really don't want to use him.
He's
on
your number
offense.
Three corner.
Yeah.
So it's not, he's not even a top two corner on the team. I like how he's played on defense. I love how he's played on special teams, but you can utilize him.
Yeah.
Real quick, while we're talking coaching staff, Mark Daniels, Mass Live, had a takeout on Ben McAdoo today.
Yeah, the mystery man.
So he is a mystery man. Daniels did a pretty good job figuring out what Ben McAdoo does. He says McAdoo has multiple roles. With the offense, he goes over the third down game plan and how it will attack the next opponent. With the quarterback position group meets, he's an observer while T.C. McCartney runs the meetings. Drake May was asked about all the different voices in his ear. He's quoted in the story, but Daniels kind of adds this as some color to the story. He says May said it hasn't been awkward with hearing the multiple voices this year. He regularly communicates with four coaches.
Nice.
This is, again, the communication. Mayo's supposed to be in charge of this. Four coaches he regularly communicates with. Mayo, Van Pelt, McCartney, and McAdoo.
Okay.
Van Pelt runs the show on Sunday, meaning play calling. McCartney runs the quarterback meetings. McAdoo speaks up when it's appropriate and runs the offensive meeting on Thursday, Keith. So how does that Thursday meeting go? Daniels has some detail on that. Every Thursday morning before Sunday games, McAdoo runs the Patriots offensive meeting, and this is where the team goes over their strategy on third downs before practice. McAdoo starts things off with a theme song and a graphic which lightens the mood.
What? Like a funny meme?
Apparently, when McAdoo takes the stage, Keith, the last are soon to follow, writes McDaniel.
He's hilarious?
I'm sorry, writes Mark Daniels. Apparently, that's when Danger Zone...
What?
Kenny
topical,
Loggins.
Real topical song, I'm sure. Hits with the players.
Well, was it in the new Top Gun? It was in...
Oh, was it in Maverick? Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it was.
Yeah.
I don't recall. That's when Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins plays throughout the Patriots meeting room. Before players know it, it's a customized Top Gun graphic appearing on the screen. Every week, McAdoo photoshops a player's face on Maverick and Goose.
So it is a meme. He does memes.
Yeah, that's all he does all week. He works on the meme.
He does memes.
He's Jonathan running Twitch.
Yeah,
like, Jonathan, you could do the McAdoo job. Not that Jonathan's here today. I think it's Jacob running Twitch.
No, it's Terp.
Oh, is it Terp?
Yeah, it's Terp's Jacob.
Back. No,
wait,
I think...
What?
No,
There's a whole thing.
All right, never mind. Don't worry. Forget what
Terp
I said. I was talking to Terp earlier, so never mind. Forget
Terp
it.
Stayed up a little later than Biden, I think, last night in D.C.
It might be Terp later.
I don't care. My bad. All right.
So Joe Milton is quoted, hilarious... probably one of the funniest coaches. So he works all week on making a meme, playing some Top Gun, runs the Thursday meeting, and he is one of the four voices in Drake May's ear.
Listen,
four of them for Drake May.
I like it. Keep a loose clubhouse. You got the meme creator, the old guy doing memes, which you can't miss.
The meme lord.
He's got a theme song.
Uh-huh.
Listen, everybody needs a gimmick, and if that's what his is, it works. No, but, you know, we've started to – this Marcus Jones thing is a bit of a speed bump. We started to give Alex Van Pelt credit for Drake Maye's development, but in reality, if Drake Maye's playing well, and if he's really meeting with all these coaches, and if McAdoo's running a meme-centered meeting, if it's working, like – again, Drake Maye deserves the credit because Drake Maye himself is a great player.
Right, but would it work better if they streamlined it a little bit and it was one voice and a guy who actually knew what he was doing instead of the meme lord and Alex Van Pelt not knowing his person? Like, would it work better if they had a different mix or a more direct line of communication instead of four people in his ear? I agree it's working. Could it work better?
Maybe. I can't imagine Maye says much to him, in all seriousness.
That's a fair point.
Right, like, I think Maye will say that to sort of look more competent than he is. But my guess is it's the other three guys. And I actually don't know. I mean, we'd have to ask other quarterbacks around the league, like, how, like, Alex Van Pelt, for example, wasn't the play caller with the Browns last year. But I'm sure he was working very closely with Joe Flacco and every other Brown. But so is Kevin Stefanski. And then I'm sure, you know what I mean? Like, or there were times where Alex Van Pelt was the QB coach in Green Bay. But so, like, he's working with the player, but so is the coordinator.
Yeah, so maybe
so
every
the head coach.
Every quarterback has multiple guys to listen to. I wonder if they have four, but
no,
I get your point.
But what I also think is different is during the week versus game day. And remember, that was one of the stories that came out, Mac Jones in 2022. Belichick's calling plays. Joe Judge is calling plays. Matt Patricia's calling plays. They're getting plays from, like, on high. You're like, what is happening? That is more confusing. I think during the week, if each guy has their area of expertise, like if McAdoo's third down, then so be it. He's third down. But then on game day, it really should just be Van Pelt. And I bet that's kind of what it is.
Okay, so your thoughts on all this. 617-779-7937. It's a Patriots Friday. We will get to the Bruins at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Big win for Joe Sacco in his first game. A big loss for the Rich Keefe parlay last night, which
Terrible.
Is unfortunate. It was so close. Keefe, you lost out on a couple of hams. A ham last night? What'd you lose out on?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would have won several hams.
Yeah.
I ended up losing a ham, all ham
right.
and a half.
Well, let's win you some hams in the Bozo right. touchdown parlay. That's next. Jones and Keefe, you're on a Patriots Friday on WEEI. We'll get to the Bozo touchdown parlay in one moment. But Keefe, some news coming out in the last 20 minutes or so on Jabril Peppers. His hearing at the Bilotti Courthouse in Quincy is complete. I'm reading from Mike Reese. His next key date is January 22nd for a jury trial. Peppers' attorney says $10.5 million demand was made by the plaintiff, which Peppers, who was not present in court today, turned down. Quote from Peppers' lawyer, technically it may not be extortion, but highly probative and tells you what this case is all about. That's according to Peppers' side. Reese says more details to come, so we can monitor that here today.
So he's on the commissioner's exempt list.
Correct.
And with his next court date in January.
Yeah, he's done for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
oh, yeah. And I think we were anticipating that anyway, but I would say that... That pretty firmly marks that down. They're at least going to claim extortion in this. We'll see where that goes. Okay, Keefe, I mistakenly said we're going to win you hopefully some hams here. My mistake, you lost out on a few hams last night with the Bruins parlay. Mm. But we're trying to win you some PS5s today with the Bozo
That's
touchdown.
That's right. Yeah, the Bozo parlay, you bet a ham, but you should be winning multiple PS5s or you're
Thank
not doing
you.
It right. Yeah.
So we have been now for a few weeks ice cold. Which, haters and losers, of which there are many, Keefe, are pointing and laughing at the Bozo touchdown parlay. But I'll tell you what, it just means we're due. It just means we're right around it. Although I don't know how close we were last week. But it just means we're right around it.
One for five?
Two sounds high.
All right, okay. Maybe I'm talking us up a little bit. But no, but we do have a track record of success.
Yes, one. We
the
hit
Bozo
it.
Parlay has
we
hit.
We did hit it one time.
But if you hit,
it's like me in college. There is a track record of it happened before. There is a track record for success.
Jones does have one kid, so that does make sense.
So do the math there. I have one child. He's six. Do the math.
100%. What I would say is, not only did we hit, if you bet it that time, you could lose out and still be up. Big.
Oh, big time! You're Scrooge McDucking your way around in a pool
Correct.
Full of coins. So who are you going with this week, Keefe?
So I'm going with a Monday night football player. So this could be a similar situation from the time that we did hit. If you recall, the time that we hit, we had four on Sunday, and then we had a big discussion on Monday about do you cash out, do you not cash out? And then late in the game on Monday night football, it cashed. I'm going with a guy that did not practice yesterday. However, it's an unbelievable matchup. He's still listed as questionable because the game's Monday, right? It's not like he missed a true Thursday practice. The game's
on
Monday.
It's a Wednesday practice, effectively, yes.
Yeah, so I think he plays. If he doesn't, we can talk about it. We go switch it out. But I'm going Ladd McConkey.
Oh, yeah.
The rookie wide receiver for the L.A. Chargers. Big game on Monday night. Chargers and Ravens. The Ravens defense, not good. Particularly the pass defense. They have already this season allowed 16 touchdowns to just the wide receivers. So give me Ladd McConkey. He's plus 140 on his own. You throw him into this parlay, and it looks pretty good. So I'll go Ladd McConkey.
Okay, if you want any background on that as well, I will be facing him on Monday night in a do-or-die fantasy situation, so there's some background for you.
So he's definitely going to score.
I'm going with A.J. Brown. I'm not sure, in a similar situation on Sunday Night Football.
I like this one.
I'm not sure Devontae Smith plays. He's missed the first 2 days of practice. Even still, A.J. Brown's about the only guy they throw to these days. It is a high total in that matchup this weekend for the Philadelphia Eagles against the L.A. Rams. We just saw how bad the L.A. Rams defense is a week ago. I thought it was right around 47. It's up to 48.5 is the total in that game. So give me A.J. Brown. Billy, who are you going with?
The Chiefs are in Carolina to play the Panthers. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes to scoot one in.
Whoa!
Patrick Mahomes to scoot one in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he'll catch one. Either way,
well, that's a good point.
Rush it in, or maybe he catches one.
That is fair. That's true.
I'm taking Patrick Mahomes against the Panthers.
Carolina Panthers, obviously a terrible, terrible defense, specifically against the run. So Patrick Mahomes is the pick for Billy. Nick, who you going with?
I'm going with Terry McLaurin. The Cowboys defense is terrible.
Yes.
You have Diggs popping off on reporters. Terry McLaurin has not scored in 2 weeks and has been not targeted a ton in the last 2 weeks either. So I feel like Jaden Daniels is going to make it a point to get him the ball. So give me Terry McLaurin.
Okay. Terry McLaurin, like maybe a squeaky wheel situation too. He did nothing on Thursday Night Football last week against the Eagles. And Terp is going with Mike Evans plus 165. He's been out. He's been practicing this week. He should be back for their game this weekend. A big target for Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield Giants story?
I didn't. I don't think so. What was the story?
Pretty cool.
They played the Giants.
Story.
Thank you, Nick.
Baker Mayfield donated.
The helmets, right? Or the football equipment? I did see this.
18
yeah.
grand. This school in Texas was in jeopardy of not having a football season. He cut him a check for like 18 grand, got him all helmets and like other equipment. And so they had a season and they won their like conference or whatever. Like they had like a good year. So pretty cool story for Baker Mayfield.
Well, it's some good juju for him in the game on Sunday against the Giants. So we have A.J. Brown plus 110, Ladd McConkey plus 140, Patrick Mahomes plus 340, Terry McLaurin plus 135, Mike Evans in his return plus 165. Keith, one ham will buy you
over 2.5 PS5s, also known as $1,319.44.
Nice.
Real nice.
I do like that we have like a Sunday Night Football Monday. We got some standalone games going on here. Mm-hmm. Opportunities to maybe cash out.
No.
For those out there, cash out Keith. I know you've been an advocate for that in the past.
I will see what happens. The fact it's my pick on Monday, I really probably can't.
Oh, you got to lean in on that. So there you go. You can follow along, or you can kick and scream and say we got lucky back in week three. We made $1,200 for the listeners out there by simply placing down one $10 bet. We do it every Friday on a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keith on WEE. I will get back into your Patriots thoughts. A lot of you waiting patiently on the Pats. And let's get to the Bruins. 1-0 winners over Utah last night. Is that the response you were expecting out of the Bruins? And should we feel better about this team? That's next.